Chapter 1. Autonomy. I held the baby up to the light, squinted at the physician out of one bloodshot eye, and spoke starkly. "Tell me, doctor, you've been in this business a long time." I glanced meaningfully at the baby. "She's ruining my life. She's ruining my sleep. She's ruining my health. She's ruining my work. She's ruining my relationship with my wife, and she's ugly." Swallowing hard, I managed to compose myself for my one simple question. Why do I like her? Melvin Connor, The Tangled Wing, 1982. When I first met Jesse Thompson, it was mid-March, a trying time for Minnesota parents. Everywhere else in the country, spring had sprung. Here, it would be at least another month before the kids could be humanely disgorged into the yard. All week long, I attended early childhood family education classes in and around Minneapolis and St. Paul, listening to roughly 125 parents talk about their lives. And all week long, at some point or another, almost all would give the same report. Their nerves were shot, and so were their kids' toys. The Play-Doh reduced to dry chips, the Legos scattered in a house-wide diaspora. Everyone had the look of a passenger who had been trapped far too long in coach and could not wait, for the love of everything that was holy, to deplane. Minnesota's Early Childhood Family Education Program, or ECFE, as I will be referring to it from now on, is immensely popular and unique to the state, which is the reason I've come here. For a sliding scale fee, and in some cases no fee at all, any parent of a child who's not yet in kindergarten can attend a weekly class. And they do, in great numbers. In 2010, nearly 90,000 moms and dads signed up for one. The themes of the classes vary, but what they all have in common is an opportunity for parents to confide, learn, and let off steam. The first half of each class is straightforward, with parents and children interacting in a group facilitated by ECFE's staff of early childhood education professionals. But the second half, that's when things get interesting. The parents leave their kids in the hands of those same professionals and retreat to a room of their own, where for 60 blissful minutes they become grown-ups again. Coffee is consumed, hair is let down, notes are compared. A parent educator always guides the discussion. I met Jessie in one of the smaller ECFE classes in South Minneapolis and instantly liked her. She was one of those curious women who seemed not to realize she was pretty, carrying herself in a slightly distracted way. Her contributions to the discussion, while often wry, I blame Oprah, also suggested she wasn't afraid of her darker, spikier feelings, and that she could even take a dispassionate view of them, as a lab researcher might of her rats. About midway through the class, for instance, she mentioned that she'd managed to get out of the house the previous evening to meet a girlfriend, a triumph considering that she had three kids under the age of six. "And I had this moment," she said, "where I realized, this is how it feels when moms run away from their kids. I could see why moms get in their cars and just keep driving." She luxuriated for a few minutes in the high of being alone, just her on the open road, no children strapped into the car seats. "And then I had this actual fantasy for a few minutes," she said. "What if I just keep driving?" She was not seriously entertaining this idea. Jessie was clearly a secure mother, which was why she was comfortable enough to confess this fleeting vision out loud. It was also clear, though, that she was dead tired and not a little overwhelmed. She was trying to expand her new portrait photography business based in the den of her home. She was living paycheck to paycheck. Her youngest was just 8 months old. She didn't have the resources to put her children in ballet classes and soccer, much less something as luxurious as preschool. She couldn't afford a babysitter for so much as one morning a week. Every trip to the grocery store involved loading all three kids in the car. "I just have these selfish bouts sometimes," she said. "Like, I don't want to change another diaper. I don't want my kids hanging all over me 24/7. I want to have a phone conversation without being interrupted." She was simply craving a few perks of her old life. But they were hard to come by with three small children in the house. Perhaps Irma Bombeck put it best more than 30 years ago, when one of her characters declared, "I have not been alone in the bathroom since October."